Of your resurrection power, Lord Jesus, some more than 2,000 years ago, But Father, more importantly, you have resurrected in our hearts.
Yes.
We who were dead in sin and were in corruption. Father, the same pillar of fire that resurrected the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is in each and every son and daughter of the Lord, Father, this morning, here and all across the earth. Father, Lord, take preeminence, Lord. We pray, come in, Lord, our precious brother, Brother Solomon Halfman, who is going to give us the word of the Lord into your hands, Lord Jesus. Speak the oracles of God through his heart unto us, Lord. Thank you for the brothers and sisters who've been praying, Lord Jesus, for this gathering. Father, before, Lord, we gathered here, you foreknew this day. Before each and every one, Lord, Father, came here, you knew what is upon their hearts, Lord Jesus. Every desire, every petition, Lord Jesus Christ, may you answer directly, Father, according to the desires of our hearts, Lord. Bring the blessing, Lord, Father. If there's any here who is devoid of the Holy Spirit, Father, the most important thing is your word, the revelation of Jesus Christ in our heart. Fill each and every heart with the Holy Ghost. Transform the sinner. Turn, Lord, the wayward around, Father, I pray. And Lord, bring, Lord, Father, the prodigal son back to the house of the living God.
Amen.
Blessed Father, Lord, we pray for our dear Pastor Brother Jack. Lord, we have been London, Father, ministering. May you bless him, Brother Gwen, and all the brothers and sisters in London. And when they finish the mission, bring them back safe and sound, Lord Jesus. We pray all the gathering of the saints, Lord. Heal the sick among us. Set the captive free. Lead our son, blessed Brother Solomon, Father, and use him, Father, to bring the sons of Zion. And Lord, together with all everything in our hearts, we worship you, we give you the glory. And Father, at the end of the service, we give all the blessing and honor unto your name. Father, we love you, we bless you, for you first love us. We thank you in Jesus Christ and we pray. Amen.
Oh, Good to be a witness. Yeah.
Amen. Y'all pray for me. You should have a song there. He was walking on the road to Emmaus one day, talking about what happened on that day. Jesus came along and walked with him, but they didn't recognize the keeper's name. Emmaus Road today, won't you walk that way and let him have some fellowship with you? Let him have some fellowship with you. And then they reached the place they call home. Jesus asked, that time to want you come in to stay. And Jesus smiled and then said, okay. Emmaus Road today, won't you walk that way and let him have some fellowship with you?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Amen. You want to have some fellowship with you this morning? He's here. Down from his glory,
yes,
yes. Forever living story. My God has saved the king.
Yes.
Jesus was his name. Born in a manger. To his own. A stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony.
Yes.
Oh, how I loved him. I adore him. My breath, my sunshine. My all in all, the great Creator became my Savior, and oh God, fullness will live in Him. What condescension! Bringing us redemption, that in the dead of the night, not one faint hope inside, but God in His gracious tender, laid aside His splendor. Stoop and to walk, to win, to save my soul.
Yeah.
Oh, how I love Him. How I adore Him. My breath, my sunshine, my all in all.
Yeah.
Oh, glorious day.
Thank you. Above all Yourself as active. risen.
Yes,
he's not in the tomb.
Yes,
he's risen. I tell you, there's thousands of sermons being preached today.
Yes,
no doubt this morning they're preaching about Christ on the cross. They're preaching about Christ in a tomb. They're preaching about baby Jesus in a manger. And we're preaching Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's alive and well. And I just want to declare this morning, he's still giving the Holy Ghost. He's still saving the lost. He's not lost any power. He's not lost any ability. But he's alive and well. Amen. God bless you this morning. We're certainly happy to be here with you. We have the privilege and honor, and we certainly appreciate Brother Jack and giving us the opportunity to come and the invitation. We want to remember him in prayer today and other services there in London. We certainly appreciate him and just put the confidence in us to speak to you while he's away. And amen. I guess last time we was here, I felt like we left a little piece of our hearts here with you. Amen. And we're always thinking about you and praying for you with your current situation. We know that God will make a way.
Amen.
And we're just looking to the Lord just to speak to us. And my, what a Easter that this is. You know, we hear about having burdens sometimes and bearing burdens, but could you imagine bearing every burden of every human being that would ever be born? Amen. He bared those burdens upon his shoulders, and amen, no wonder that his sweat turned to blood. And we're just thankful for the price that he paid we could be here. And I wonder, just before we do it to the Word of God, if we could just bow our heads and our hearts, and maybe if you have a need on your life and you'd like to lift your hand and ask God to remember you. Amen. Maybe a sickness and maybe something you're battling and going through and you want him to remember you. Amen. Let's just ask him to bless us. Father, Lord, we're so honored to be in your presence this morning, Lord. And we're thankful, Father, to be in the presence of one another and to have fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters. But Lord, it's incomparable to the fellowship that we have with our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we're so glad to know that you're not in a tomb this morning, Lord, but you're risen. And Lord, what a resurrection that was, but what a resurrection this is, Lord, as your sons and daughters of God. You have resurrected us, Lord, for the Gentile people that didn't know you, Lord, the Gentile people that had nothing to do with you. But, oh, Father, you resurrected us from deadness, and you brought us to life as your sons and daughters. We're thankful for this morning, Lord. And, Lord, we want to just invite your presence and your grace upon this service today. Lord, we don't want you to be in the corner unwelcome and uninvited. But, Lord, I pray that every individual here will just begin to invite you to where they're sitting at. Lord, your arm ain't too short that it can't still reach, Lord. There's not a situation that's too great, Lord. There's not a problem too great, Lord, that your hand of mercy can't reach to, Father. And Lord, I pray that you would just come, Lord, and make yourself visible this morning in the form of your word, Lord. Lord, we're not here to see or to hear from one another, but Father, we're here to see you high lifted up in our midst. Lord, you're the reason that we're gathered together this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord, may you take every word into your control, every thought that's spoken, Lord. May it be under your auspices, Lord, your direction, Father. Lord, for every hand that was raised this morning, behind that hand was a need. Lord, and I pray this morning you'd meet each and every need according to your riches and glory, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for being here in our midst. Lord, I pray that you'd anoint the gift of God in our lives, which is only to get out of your way, Lord. And may you anoint your children that they can hear and receive what they have need of. When we leave the building, Lord, we'll give you the praise for it. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And the church said,
amen
and amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to go straight to the Word of God. I know you're in a school building, but I don't know, is there any time restraints as far as how long the service can be? Amen. He said, have my way. So, we won't hold you all day, but we do want to let the Lord have his way. So, I'd like to read in the book of Romans in the 8th chapter. We'll read in the 2nd verse. And I'd like to greet you this morning from our pastor, Brother Josh Bennett, back in Maiden, North Carolina. We just gave greetings from him. Amen. We're just looking forward to what God will do in our midst. The book of Romans in the 8th chapter. We'll read the 2nd verse. We'll also turn to Romans 7. And we've got just a couple places to read, so we appreciate you standing with us. The book of Romans in the 8th chapter, the 2nd verse, the Bible would say this: for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has been before you. Aren't you glad to know that we're free from the law of sin and death? Amen. For it has made us free. The book of Romans in the 7th chapter, it'll be just a chapter before, and we'll read the 12th verse there. The Bible says this concerning the law. Amen. We live in a time that everybody, you read something in the Old Testament, and they say, well, that was the Old Testament, and that's just the law. Amen. But Christ never did away with the law, but he fulfilled all the law. Is that correct?
Yes,
amen. Romans 7 and 12 would read how the law was pure and holy. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Now, to break the word of God is what we would call sin, or in other words, we would call it unbelief. Amen. And to break the law, it throws you into a state of debt. Amen. So we understand that a law without a penalty is not a law. So when you break the law, you're under a penalty, you're under a debt. Is that right?
Amen.
Romans 6 and 23 would read this, for the wages of sin, in other words, the debt of sin to be paid is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Find a place in the scripture, the book of Genesis, the 2nd chapter. We'll read the 15th verse down to the 17th, and then we'll let you be seated. Genesis 2 and 15, the Bible says this in the beginning. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We pray that God will bless the reading of his word. As you may be seated, just for a short amount of time, I want to speak to you by the help of God on the subject of grace has met law's requirement. Amen. Grace has met law's requirement. David, in the Psalms, in Psalms 51, would teach us the way that we come into this world. And we know that we were born into this world, shaped in sin and iniquity. And David covers that here in Psalms 51 and 4. He says, now against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. And behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So we can all agree this morning that when we were born, we were flat out lawbreakers. Amen. We were born automatically breaking the law. We was born a sinner. We was born shaped in sin. Amen. The very human nature was the nature to sin. Amen. And to have unbelief. And Brother Graham would say this in the message, How Can I Overcome? In 63, he was saying, now see, as I said at the beginning, you are born defeated, and that birth can never bring you to life because you're born defeated. Amen. You're in a defeated world, amongst defeated people, amongst defeated creeds. And it's a pretty dim picture it's painting, isn't it? Amongst defeated creeds, defeated denominations, and you've got to come to victory some way. So I just want to build a foundation in this and to show you by the law, we are defeated creatures. Amen. By the law, we're 100% defeated. We've got no hope. Amen. To keep the law, to live by the law, we're defeated people. Amen. Now, in the book of Leviticus, it teaches us that a murderer shall be put to death. In Leviticus 24 and 17, in the law of Moses, the Bible would say this, and he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. And you say, well, Solomon, I never killed nobody, I never murdered anybody, but actually that's incorrect. Amen. When Christ died, amen, he paid for the sins of the past, paid for the sins of the present, and paid for the sins of the future. Amen. So even though you wasn't born, amen, there was still Christ still paid for every sin you would ever commit. Amen. It was upon his shoulders. Amen. And it was our sins that put him upon the cross. So that does away with the thought that we're not murderers. We were born a murderer. Amen. It was our sin that nailed him upon that cross. Is that correct? Amen. Brother Graham covers it here. He says, now you're just as guilty of his blood as Pilate was. It's on your hands. You can't wash it off. Did you ever think about that? So by the law, amen, the law says that we should surely be put to death. Is that right? Amen. A murderer shall be put to death. Now that's the law that's in the Bible. Amen. So we could say it this way this morning. When we were born, even as children, amen, you're born with a debt that hangs over your head. Amen. You're born a debt. And you see, that debt is a debt that we have broken the laws of God. We've broken the wall of God. Amen. And that's the debt that, amen, any child, amen, even the child must come to the Lord and receive salvation. Is that right? Amen. So we're born with all of this debt that hangs hangs upon our shoulders. As a 12-year-old boy, a 13-year-old kid, you're born with a debt that hangs over you, that weighs upon your shoulders. And what that debt is, it's a debt that you have broken the law of God and you've broken the word of God. Amen. But I want to give you some good news. Amen. We focused on some negative here for a moment. Amen. And I want you to know everything that's in you, you're completely defeated without Him. Amen. There's no hope. Amen. Without Him, amen, there's simply no way to make it. Amen. That grace met the requirement of the law. Amen. We were born with all this debt hanging above us, but grace has met the requirement of the law. Amen. Now, law would keep us out of His presence. Amen. If we would all be living by the law and didn't have grace, we wouldn't be here this morning. Amen. We cannot step into the presence of a holy and pure God. Amen. Underneath the law. Amen. Amen. Let me just say it to you like this. Amen. We're without hope to live under the law. Amen. If it was just by the law, none of us would be here. We couldn't be in His presence. Amen. We could never even get close to His presence because of the law. Amen. Let me say it. There ain't anybody in here that has had any hope within yourself, amen, to come into the presence of the Almighty God. Amen. But because grace has met every requirement, amen, it has enabled us to come into the presence of Him. Amen. It's enabled us to be gathered together and to be in His midst. Hallelujah. Amen. Grace has met all the requirement of the law. Amen. It's grace that has brought us into the presence of God. Now, Brother Branham would pick this up there in the beginning. Amen. And would teach that the first covenant that God established with man would be the Adamic covenant. It's the covenant that God made with Adam. Amen. And what that covenant was, it's a covenant that means if you do this, then I'll do this. Amen. If you do this, then I'll do this. Now, you can eat of every tree in the garden, but the tree in the midst of the garden you cannot eat. So if you don't do this, I'll do this. Amen. It's a covenant that relies upon the works of a man. Amen. It's a law that God establishes that relies on what you can do. Amen. And that's the law that God established in the beginning, was a law that if you do this, then I'll do this. That's the way that God started it. Amen. God established the law with mankind, and we find that immediately man broke that law. Amen. Man cannot keep his side of the covenant up. Amen. Man, it's in the literal DNA of a man that he can't keep the word of God with his own strength. Amen. The first man, Adam, that was born, and yet even himself, he did not have enough strength to keep the covenant of God, to keep the law of God. Now listen, that was not a surprise to God, being that God is all-knowing. God knew what Adam would do before he did it, but it was all in the great plan of God that God would even give him this law, was to be able to display grace at the end. Amen. So it was not a surprise, amen, that Adam did what he did. Amen. It wasn't, amen, God wasn't shocked when Adam couldn't keep his end of the deal. Amen. He was not shocked. He wasn't surprised when Adam couldn't keep the word. He knew, amen, that Adam didn't have the strength to keep the word of God and to keep the law of God. But God would make a way. Amen. Now see, whenever there's a law, there must be a payment of the penalty of the law. You just bear with me as we build a foundation in this. Amen. I'm going somewhere in it. Whenever there's a law, amen, and the law is broken, there must be a payment or there must be a penalty of the law. Now, the message, the all-coming storm, Brother Branham covers it here. He says, now God is just and He has law. Any law that is broken has to have a penalty to it. Now, any law that is broken that has no penalty, it is not a law. You cannot break the laws of God without having to pay for it somewhere. We agree with that. You cannot break God's law without having to pay for the law somewhere. Amen. You can't break the law without there being a penalty. You must do what the Bible said. Amen. Now, I want you to notice what God did after that. The children, amen, in the Garden of Eden, they broke the law of God. Amen. Now, God didn't say, well, you know, I guess you broke the law. It's okay. I'll just figure it out. It's okay. Amen. No, God kept up His end of the covenant. He said, the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now, listen, God didn't just, you know, fold His arms and say, well, I guess it ain't a big deal. He couldn't keep up His end of the deal. He couldn't keep the law down again. But no, God actually meant the law that He gave. Amen. And when God puts a law in the Bible, He even God himself must live by that law, and God himself must operate by that law. You say, how can you say that? Because when God gave the law in the beginning, that day, amen. Now listen, no doubt God loved Adam and Eve as his first two children. He loved them with all of his heart. But yet when they broke the law, God said, I've got to keep what I've said. I've got to keep the law. I wrote this law. My law is holy. My law is pure. I can't do away with it. I've got to keep it because I, God, have put this law into effect. But I want you to notice this. God made the law. Amen. And the law is pure. The law is holy. The law is just. Amen. And he knew, Brother Solomon, that he would break that law. Amen. But, amen. Upon the knowledge of knowing he would break the law, he would also make grace, and he would make a way back from them that had broke the law. I want to give you a picture here, Brother Choi. Amen. After they had broke the law of God, God did what? Amen. God took a lamb. I said, God took a lamb. Amen. They had all the debt of the law on them, brother. They now had condemnation for breaking the law of God. They now had guilt. Amen. Adam could look over to Eve and say, I never felt this way before. I never felt sorrow like this. I never felt condemnation like this. Amen. They have all these strange emotions that we're now dealing with. Amen. They have all of this battle because they broke the law of God. But notice when they broke the law of God, it put God in action. Amen. When they broke the law of God, it put God in action. And you say, preacher, what did God do? God immediately, what he knew, as he sent him out of the garden, but when he traumatized it, he said, God went and took a lamb. And he slayed that lamb. Is that right? He slayed the lamb. And he took the skin of that bloody lamb. And he put that skin around his children. And in a parallel from the book of Hebrews. Amen. That without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Amen. In the scripture, as it shows that how God, amen, covered that lamb around his children. He was given a prophecy all the way back in the book of Genesis. Amen. That I'm covering you with the animal. I'm covering you with the skins of the lamb. And God was putting a prophecy in the scripture. Amen. That one day, amen, there's going to be another lamb that's going to come. There's going to be another lamb. And it won't be the lamb. It won't be the blood of an animal. But it will be my very own blood. Amen. God put a prophecy all the way in the book of Genesis. As he put those lambskins around his children. But let me say it to you like this, brother. All it did was cover up Adam and Eve. All it did was cover them up. Everybody put a prophecy in there. And it was a greater. It was a greater lamb that was going to come. And the lambskin. Amen. Listen, church. Amen. The lambskin there in the beginning, all it did was cover them up. But the lamb that would be coming, it would not only cover up the believer, but it would abolish the sin. It would not cover the sin. It would take the nature of the sinner and it would wash all the sin out of the believer. I say, oh, Lamb of God, how great thou art. Hallelujah. I want you to notice this. Amen. Adam and Eve didn't go kill a lamb. Adam and Eve didn't go say, well, there's a lamb, but God himself, brother. I said, God himself went and slew a lamb. Amen. You said, preacher, what are you saying? This is what I'm saying. God himself has made a sacrifice. Amen. God himself has made a sacrifice for you, brother. Amen. God ain't looking for you to kill a lamb. God ain't looking for you to slay a lamb. He's looking for you to accept the lamb that's already been given. Now the first covenant, would be called a works-based covenant. Thank you, brother. Amen. I want you to realize something, though. There wasn't anything after they broke the law of God, there wasn't anything they could do to mend the fellowship. There wasn't anything they could do to redeem themselves back to a pure estate. Amen. Let me say it to you like this. There ain't any good works that you can do that can redeem yourself back to a perfect estate as a son or daughter of God. Amen. Let me just throw that out the window. Amen. Listen, the first covenant got started in the beginning. It was a works-based covenant. But we're not under the old covenant no longer. We're not under a works-based covenant. covenant. He said, now, you know, he said to Abraham, amen, Adam in the Adamic covenant, if you'll not do this, if you won't do that, he said, but see, Adam turned right around and broke it. Another place I want you to notice, when God made his first covenant, the Adam covenant, the Adamic covenant, he made it between him and Adam, and man turned right around and broke the covenant. And now listen, these are the first two children of God, and they couldn't do it, brother.
Right.
And they couldn't keep the law. They couldn't fulfill the law. And so why would we think? And why would we think that we got enough good works and good enough church attendance that we can do it on our own, brother? Let me say this, your very best works is a filthy rag in the sight of God. Your very best ability, God ain't looking for your abilities, he's looking for your heart.
Hallelujah.
And every time God makes a covenant with man, man breaks it. Every time he made a covenant with man, man breaks his covenant. He does it yet today. Man will always break his covenant with God. Amen. But God can't break his covenant with man. Amen. Man always breaks his covenant. Man has always tried to find some way to save himself. Isn't that the nature of man right there? Amen. We're always trying to figure it out on our own. We're always trying to work ourselves into it. Amen. Now some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you brothers, amen, you get yourself in a bind and you know you can't fix it. You know you can't do it. Amen. But as a man, as human nature, you're like, well, I'm going to try it anyway. Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Well, I don't really know how to take apart that engine, but hey, I'm going to try it anyway. Amen. That's the nature of man. Want to get in and want to fix it. Want to get in and make it better. Amen. But listen, church, this is what the prophet's saying. Man has always tried to find a way to save himself or to make himself. He said it comes from a strand in the Garden of Eden when man realized he had sinned. He tried to make himself a religion, make himself a covenant. Amen. Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together and made themselves a religion. He says, and since it's been a strain of man down through the age trying to do something to save himself, but you are saved by grace. Amen. You are saved by grace, not ability. You are saved by grace, not by law. You are saved by grace, not by good works. Hallelujah. Amen. Man cannot keep up his side in the covenant. Amen. I want you to notice, amen, the law of God. You read it, amen, throughout the whole book of Leviticus. It's very amazing as you actually study it out and look at the law in the book of Leviticus. It's very staggering to live by the law. I couldn't imagine. Amen. All the little ordinances to keep, all the little things you can't do, you can do. Amen. But I want to cover just a little bit here. Amen. And this is the requirement of being a priest in the Bible. In Leviticus 21 and 17, we're reading this way. Now speak unto Aaron, saying, whatsoever he be of thy seed and their generations, and hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. Amen. So there we have, having a blemish, don't let him approach the bread of his God. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. A blind man or a lame, he that hath a flat nose or anything superfluous, or a man that is broken footed or broken handed, or a crooked back, or a chorp, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy or stabbed, or his stones be broken. No man that hath a blemish in the seed of Aaron, the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He that hath a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of God. Amen. Now listen, church, this is covering probably most everybody in here. Those that have a crooked back, those that have a flat nose, those that have a scab, those that have a blemish, those that have this and this and this, and then those that are broken a bone. Amen. Listen, these are the requirements of being a priest. Amen. In the Old Testament. And I was going to preach on this for a minute. Amen. Amen. Ever since a young boy, got an accident. I've had problems with my back, keeping my posture straight. Now, according to the law, those with a crooked back, you couldn't be a priest. Amen. Some of y'all, you've broken a bone. According to the law, you couldn't be a priest. Amen. You couldn't come to God and offer the bread of God. Amen. According to the law, those that have a blemish on their face, those that have a scab on their face, amen, they couldn't approach God and offer the bread of God. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Amen. I wanted to show you the law in the Bible. Amen. Listen, church. Amen. This would disqualify many people in here as being a priest. But listen, church. Grace has met the requirement of the law. Amen. Bible. He can meet all this criteria. He can be. Amen. Listen, church, this cuts out a lot of people, doesn't it? Amen. Many of us, we've these qualifications that cut out me, cut out many of you that's here. Amen. But even if they fit all this criteria, they still, amen, had to slay a lamb.
Yes! Come on!
Even though they met all this criteria, they still had to slay a lamb.
Right.
And had to offer the lamb. Showing that the believer, amen, even your best amount of works, even your cleanest living you can do, brother, even the greatest ability you got,
yes,
it still requires a lamb.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. In other words, the very best we can do still ain't enough. Our very best abilities still ain't good enough. And the very best things we can offer, it still ain't good enough. Amen. Now, you said, Brother Simon, that just ain't fair. We're not here living by the law. And I want to say this because there's some confusion in this. Amen. People say, well, the law of God, that was just the law. And law don't mean nothing. And law ain't good. And law ain't this. Do you realize that God Himself wrote that law? God Himself, brother. So you're saying what God said don't mean anything? Amen. God knows that. Now don't confuse me. I'm not saying we're living by the letter. We're not. But give me some grace at this. Amen. God Himself, Brother Willie, He put that law in ordinance. It was the mind of God. And God wrote that law. Amen. I want to read to you what God, amen, what David was saying about it. Psalms 19 and 7. The law of the Lord is perfect.
That's good.
The law of the Lord is perfect.
Yeah.
So when you want to say the law ain't no good, go quote this scripture instead. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Amen. So let me go on record and say this. There ain't nothing wrong with His word. There ain't nothing wrong with His law. Amen. The only thing wrong is us people. Amen. They're not good enough to keep the law. Amen. There ain't no problem with His word. There ain't no problem with His law. Amen. The problem is humanity that looks at the laws as well. Well, I just don't know about that. Amen. But let me give you some good words here. Amen. We're not here trying to keep all the letter, but we are here under grace. Amen. For grace has met all the requirement of the law. I want you to keep that in your mind. Amen. The law is good. The law is perfect. It's the mind of God. And God established His law in the Old Testament.
Yes, sir.
In the message, hear ye him. The man talks about the law. He says, now the law, it only puts you in jail.
Right.
That's what he said. If he was under the law, probably most of us, well, all of us wouldn't be here because we're murderers.
Yes,
we wouldn't be here if it was through the law. The man says, the law puts you in jail. The law puts you under condemnation. The law magnifies. It was to a policeman that come and it caught you by the arm and said, you're guilty. And you're under the penalty of death. Amen. The law has no redeeming grace, but grace has come by Jesus Christ, not by the law. I don't plead the law. I don't want nothing to do with the law. I want grace. This is the prophet of this generation. I don't want nothing to do with the law. I want grace. Amen. Listen, law was a policeman that caught you by the arm and said you're guilty. And the law was a policeman that ran after you when you broke the laws of God. And it said you're guilty. Let me just go on record and say it like this. There ain't a single person in here that's not guilty under the law. We are all guilty. Amen. Let me say it to you like this. Amen. The devil didn't have to make anything up about us. He didn't have to lie on us. We were actually sinners. We actually sinned. The devil didn't have to write a lie about us. He had evidence, brother. We broke the law. We were sinners. Hallelujah. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. I want to get to the good, amen, some of these other parts. Amen. Listen, church. Under the law, we're completely guilty. The devil didn't have to lie when he said you're guilty. We were guilty. But grace. Hallelujah. But grace has met the requirement of the law.
Amen.
Now, as I said, the penalty amen, of breaking the law is death in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in other words, the penalty of our sin is death. Pretty hopeless case, is it not? The penalty of us breaking the law is death. You say, that's sounding awful negative. I'm not. I'm showing you something. And the penalty of breaking the law is death. Unless somebody else takes your penalty.
All right.
Oh, God. Unless somebody else pays the penalty. Now listen, we're born debtors, are we not? As a little boy, me being a little 13-year-old kid, I had debt on my shoulders. I walked around as a teenager with debt. I walked around as a boy with debt. And they're hanging upon my shoulders. And the debt had to get paid, brother. The debt was death.
Oh, brother.
I said the debt was death. So unless one came and paid the debt, I was on death row. And Leviticus 25, we're talking about a kinsman redeemer. Hallelujah. Amen. Leviticus 25 and 48. After he that is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Oh, brother. This is a kinsman redeemer scripture. This is the law saying if one's to be redeemed, then it must be kin. Either his uncle or his uncle's sons may redeem him, or any that is not of kin unto him, or of his family may redeem him, or he be able, he may redeem himself. So according to the law, the only one that could pay the penalty of redemption had to be kin. Amen. Now listen, church, God wrote this law. Did he not? God wrote this law. And in the back part of God's mind, as he was writing it, he was thinking, one of these days, I'm going to fulfill my very own law. Hallelujah. One of these days, I'm going to fulfill my very own law. And the law said that it required a kinsman redeemer to redeem a son or daughter. So what did God do? God said, I wrote the law. I must abide by my own law. And he took a blood cell. I created it. I wrapped himself in the blood cell. And he put it in the womb of a virgin. And then Jesus said, I'm not just your master. I am your brother. Hallelujah. And God himself became one of us. God himself became our friend. He became our brother. He became kin to us. That he may redeem us. He said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying God has made the law. And he had provided himself a sacrifice. Well, he made the law. And then he fulfilled the law.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
He made the law. He said, well, the law says it requires a kinsman redeemer. So I guess the only way this is going to happen is I'm going to have to put on flesh. Oh, brother. Amen. So we were under the penalty of death. Hallelujah. We was under the penalty of death. And then grace wrapped himself in a blood cell. And grace put himself in the womb of a virgin. And then grace was a child in a manger. Amen. And then grace, he fulfilled all the law. Hallelujah. God, I feel like preaching on this. I said grace fulfilled all the law. And the law said, Brother Troy, that the Lamb must be spotless. The Lamb must be pure. The Lamb must be without blemish. I say our Lamb. He was spotless. He was sinless. He was without blemish. Even Pilate himself said, why are you condemning him? I find no fault in him. And our Lamb fulfilled every requirement to be our Redeemer. He fulfilled every requirement to be
I'm sorry, Brother Willie. He said, I didn't come to do away with it. I didn't come to abolish the law. I didn't come to put away the law. I come to fulfill. So now you just don't have my word, you have his. I didn't come to do away with it. You say, what was he fulfilling? He was fulfilling every requirement that it took to be a kinsman redeemer. He was fulfilling every requirement that it took to be the Lamb. I want you to notice something powerful in this. Amen. In the old covenant, amen, when you was a sinner, amen, you went to go give a lamb. Is that right? Amen. The sacrifice of a lamb, sacrifice of an oxen. When you went to shed blood, amen, the priest would come to your household. The priest would come to your household and whatever lamb you gave. But you was looking that lamb over. You was looking underneath his ears. You were lifting up his leg. You was being sure there wasn't no blemish in the lamb. You was being sure that the lamb had no problems, had no issues. You opened up his mouth, be sure all the teeth was in there. And you did all you was very careful on what lamb you was gonna give. Oh God. You was very careful because your future relied on that lamb. Your future relied on that lamb. So you was really careful and you was inspecting it. And God, I can imagine it. They go and set that lamb out there. And I want you to notice something in this. The high priest wasn't looking at the person who gave the lamb. The high priest wasn't looking, Brother Solomon, at the person's faults, the person's failures, the person's problems. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The high priest wasn't looking at none of that. But the high priest, but he was focused on the lamb. Because the lamb had to meet every requirement. Hallelujah. No doubt the person who gave that lamb, they were all nervous thinking, oh God, I hope that the lamb makes it. I hope, because he realized his future rested on that lamb. Amen. And the priest examined the lamb. And if it was spotless, if it didn't have a blemish, he said, this one will do. But let me say this. Amen. God tested him. God tried him. Amen. God put him through everything he could go through. Amen. And at the end of it, amen, he came down and said, this is my beloved son. And here I am pleased. He has fulfilled every requirement. He has fulfilled all the law. And then the laws of God. Hallelujah. He paid it in full. Oh God. The lamb took our place, brother. Place met the requirement. He was fulfilling the law. Hallelujah. And the priest, brother, the priest inspected that lamb very carefully. I find no fault in it. I want to give you some good news. There was not any fault in our lamb. There wasn't any problem in our lamb. There wasn't any issue in our lamb. He was the sinless, virgin-born son of the Almighty God. And brother, he fit every criteria to pay our debt. Amen. He fit every, amen, all the law. It fit him just perfectly. And he fulfilled everything that he had to. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to say before your lamb.
Amen.
Covers this here. He says, now he becomes both judge, jury, and attorney. Now, stop. So, well, no, it's still going. Praise God. Amen. He became both judge, jury, and attorney. He pleaded our case, and we found guilty by his own law. Amen. It comes back into view now. We were found guilty by his own law. Found guilty by his own law. And he came and took the guilty person's place. Amen. That was in the sanctuary. He took his sin. He took it upon himself and died and paid the price and shed his blood and give back his own token, his own life. The Lamb says it so beautifully. He says, why, we are perfect. And the case is dismissed. Amen. There is no more sin to the believer. Amen. We were found guilty. one took our debt and paid for it. Hallelujah. As I said earlier, even the devil had hard evidence against us. We were guilty. Amen. No doubt he could come to God and say, God, he has broke this ordinance, he broke this law, he's broke this, he's done this. Amen. But then God, amen, turns to the jury. Amen. And what's the jury say? Well, I say he never done it in the first place. Turns to the attorney. Amen. The defendant, what do you say? I say I was there with him. He never sinned in the first place. Church, amen. If God is your judge, your jury is, amen. If God is Jesus, or if the judge is Jesus, and the jury is Jesus, and the defendant is Jesus, amen. Church, amen. There ain't no way that we can stand here guilty any longer. There ain't no way we can be condemned under the law any longer. Used to be, brother, we had the debt of sin on us. We had the condemnation of sin that held on our shoulders. But the scripture says there is now and out for no condemnation to them that are in Christ. You say, why, preacher? Because he paid for it. He paid for your condemnation. What a price to pay. In Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness that we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He fulfilled that. He fulfilled exactly what the scripture said. He is despised and rejected of man. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. He carried our sorrows. Yeah, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And now listen, church, every person under the sound of my voice, God laid all of our iniquity on this man's shoulders. And in church, every sin you would commit, he laid it on his shoulders. And I could just imagine so beautifully. The man part of him, he's thinking, I don't know if I can do it. Brother Troy, he began to think of your sin.
That's right.
He thinks of the time that you let him down. He thinks of the time you failed him. Amen. And no doubt it got hard for the lamb every now and then. And he kept putting one foot in front of the other. And Brother Solomon, maybe he was seeing your sin. And he hung his head down low. And he saw the times we were failing. But he kept putting one foot in front of the other. He kept putting foot after foot after foot. And he walked up that lonely hill. You say, why was he doing it? Grace was meeting all the requirement of law. And the church, it was not the three nails that kept him on that cross. Listen, he could have called legion upon legion upon legion of angels at any moment. But he thought about us. And he said, I want to pay their debt so they don't have to. I want to pay their debt so they won't have to. Let me just preach to you on a minute. And the church, there ain't any debt that you owe. There ain't any debt you got to pay. But your debt is paid in full. And I want to let the devil go. Devil, I used to be guilty, but he paid my debt. Devil, we used to be bound, but he paid my debt. Devil, and we used to be under your control, but he paid my debt. Hallelujah. Amen. And while he was here, he said, you know what? I'm just going to start praying for some stuff while I'm here. Now, what's the Bible teach us? The Bible says, but really, he ascended on high and gave gifts to men. Now, to get the gift, you got to pay for it, don't you? If I want to give Solomon a gift, I got to go to the store and go buy it, do I not? Amen. And if Christ was going to give us something, he was going to pay for it. So, Lord, amen. Amen. No doubt he was walking the streets of Jerusalem. Jerusalem. And then a little devil would get on his shoulders and say, you know, Jesus, you ain't ever going to make it. Well, who do you think you are? And you know what Jesus did? He said, devil, who do you think you are? And he took that devil and put it under his feet. Paid for it. Paid for it. And then a headache come to him one day, and here he is battling a sickness. Amen. The devil said, you know what? You really ain't who you think you are. And what did Jesus do? Amen. No doubt he could have, I mean, give him some grace in this. Amen. Maybe he rebuked that sickness and said, you know what? I'm going to pay for this, and I'm going to conquer it and put it under my feet. You realize the Bible teaches that he subdued every devil, and he must reign until he hath put every devil underneath his feet. Is that right? He must reign until he put every devil underneath his feet. You said, preacher, what are you saying? This is what I'm saying. Every single battle you will ever go through, every single spirit you will ever face, every single guilt, every depression, every anxiety, every nervousness, every sin, everything on this life of the joy that you're ever going to face, amen, Jesus paid the debt, brother. So you didn't have to. Hallelujah. I said he paid it. So you didn't have to. And you said, preacher, I just want to be free this morning. And I don't have freedom in my prayer life. And I don't have freedom in my life, brother. Oh, God, would you free me? God, would you free me? Amen. You realize what the prophet taught us? Did I teach you what the prophet taught? He said, if he was here in a suit of clothes, he would say, I can't heal you. I've already done it. I can't free you. I've already done it. I can't deliver you. I've already done it. I can't heal you. I've already done it. I say, church, it's about time we start accepting what God has given us.
Amen.
He paid for it. I said he paid for it.
Amen.
If you're under condemnation this morning, why don't you lift your hands and say, God, you have paid for my freedom. If you're bound this morning, amen, and say, I can't lay my hands on you and free you. I can't do it. I can't lay my hands on you and free you. He's already freed you. Hallelujah. I said, Jesus went on a shopping spree while he was here. Every devil, he conquered it. He conquered it. He conquered it. Everything he would ever come against, he conquered it. And he paid for the power to overcome it. Church, we are now the sons and daughters of God. He has made us accepted in the Beloved. And we are free.
Yes.
Our debt has been paid. We are not bound. We are free this morning. We are free from death. We are free from sin. We are free from addiction. Jesus has paid every debt. And we are free. God, hear me this morning. I said you're free. Church, there ought to be a freedom in the house of God. There ought to be a liberty in the house of God. I don't know about you, but if he paid for it by the willing, I'm going to say, Jesus, pray me. Jesus, pray me. I'm going to say, Lord, I receive your freedom this morning. And if he paid for it, he's ascended on high and he's given gifts to me. I'm going to be standing there with my arms open. Oh, church, he has won the victory this morning. He has conquered every devil. And I say, if Christ has conquered every devil, so will we. Free this morning, it's because I am. He, the Son of God, has made free. It's free indeed. We might as well be free. We might as well. I'm a free Son of God. He has paid for it. And Lord, we receive it. We receive it this morning. I don't think you ought to be shouting like that. I don't think you ought to be acting like that. You're not Jesus himself. I'm going to get in trouble.
Praise God.
You're going to go ahead and call me Pentecostal, so I might as well keep going.
Yeah.
The Bible said, Jesus himself rejoiced in spirit. He rejoiced that these things were hidden from the eyes of the wise and prudent and revealed church. And Jesus could rejoice. I tell you, I studied that word out, and it said a sudden burst of emotion that would cause one to spin, that would cause one to jump. So I said, God, you did what you saw on earth, so am I. And I studied it out. It's in the Hebrew lexicon, covers it. Church, I see the liberties that my Lord had when he was on. I guarantee you this, he was happy. He was happy when he was on earth. He had the victory over everything.
Yeah.
And the church, there ain't no use in us letting some devil have his way with our lives. There ain't no use in not being free this morning. There ain't no use in not being healed this morning. There ain't no use in not being delivered this morning. Church, he has paid for it. And how long do we have to be taught these things? He has paid for it. Just receive it. In the name of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He led captivity captive. That's what he did.
That's what he
did. Spirit of captivity would come, grab the hold of him. Led captivity captive. Why do you do it? So you don't have to be captive. So you don't have to be captive. He led captivity captive. And church, that ain't the end of the story. He thought, you know what? While I'm here, I might as well go conquer death, go conquer hell, go conquer God. I might as well. I'm the virgin-born Son of God. I meet every requirement of the law. So when they put him in the tomb, he said, well, I guess I'll just make my way to the devil's house. And he descended where he was. And there was the devil. There was the devil, brother. Amen. And he opened up the door and said, where you at? Where you at? Tell depression to come here. Tell anxiety to come here. Get out of here. By the feelings of our infirmities. Is that not what it says?
Yeah.
He can be touched. By the feeling. You realize for the children, he had to pay for that. Every emotion you would experience as a man, he had to suffer through it. He had to pay for it. Now we read that scripture, we think, well, it's nice. He can be touched by how we feel. But we don't grasp the depth of that. Amen. Every young person in here, amen, he went through it. He grew up as a tender plant. He went through it. He knows what it's like to be a 10-year-old. He knows what it's like to be 15. What a paradox. He knows what it's like to be 20, 30. Amen. Everything that a man could go through, he knows what it's like. He paid for it. Amen. So he could be touched when we're going through something. Amen. In his great mind, he's like, I remember what that felt like. I remember what it felt like to be rejected. I remember what it felt like to be turned down. I remember what it felt like to feel like I didn't fit in nowhere. I remember what it felt like, amen, to have all kinds of pressure around me. Amen. And the way that you feel, church, the way that you feel, the infirmities, amen, he is touched by how you feel. And I say he has paid for that. He paid to know how you feel. Hallelujah. God's covenant with Abraham and his seed. There's no need. The Christian people seem to get back in the corner. Oh, I'm afraid. What are you afraid about? Why, you ought to be the most freest people in the world. Oh, Brother Brown, when I get to the millennium, I get to heaven, I'm going to be free. I get to heaven, Brother Solomon, I'm really going to worship God. Oh, Brother Solomon, I get to heaven, I'm going to give everything I've got. Church, I ain't waiting for the millennium. I'm not waiting for heaven. Let me say it to you like this. If Jesus gave everything he had, can I not? If he gave everything he had, can we not? When I come to the house of God with the joy, I'm there to give everything that I have, knowing that he gave everything that he had.
Hallelujah.
Good
preaching.
Yes, sir.
Already done it.
Glory.
You see, all it takes is accepting what he's done.
Amen.
All it takes is accepting what he's paid for.
Right.
But listen, we said like this, a gift ain't a gift unless it's accepted.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Now, I could have something about buying from Brother Troy. Say, Brother Troy, I bought you his pocket watch. Mm. Brother, I'm good. Brother Troy, I bought you this pocket watch. I want you to have it. I thought about you. I bought it for you. Brother Solomon, you shouldn't have. You really shouldn't have. You shouldn't have done that. Now, it ain't his if he don't accept it. It ain't his. You following me? It ain't his unless he takes it from me. Amen. Let me say it to you like this. Salvation ain't yours unless you take it from him. The Holy Ghost ain't yours unless you take it from him. Sometimes we come to church, God, you really shouldn't have. Oh, God, come on, somebody. God, you really shouldn't have. I know you paid for freedom. You paid for healing. But you really shouldn't have. And we sat there with our needs not being met. We sat there with chains of bondage. Come on, church. I'm not beating you up. I'm trying to help you. We sat there sometimes with chains of bondage. Said, Lord, you really shouldn't have. And let me say this, church. You will sit there just as bound can be. You'll sit there just as sick can be. You will sit there just as guilty can be. Amen. You will sit there just as condemned and just as low you can be. Church, you can sit in that condition, but I would to God this morning, we would rise up from that condition and say, Lord, I receive your free gift. I receive what you have paid for. The gift ain't a gift unless it's received. Amen. The gift ain't a gift. I believe I'm covers it. Amen. It talks about Abraham there. A pardon ain't a pardon unless accepted as a pardon. If you want liberty this morning, liberty's here. If you want healing this morning, healing's here. Come on. If you want salvation, it's here. You're staring it in the face this morning. If you want a refilling of the Holy Ghost, it's
morning, it's here. Stop looking for it and look at it. Stop looking for the right service. Stop looking for the right time and look at it. Hallelujah. Some of us keep looking and looking and looking. Have you ever go in a room with a joy and you look for something so hard that it's right there? Right there in front of you? Some of us do that. We're looking for the perfect service, the perfect opportunity, the perfect meeting, and the perfect time. And we're looking for it all the time. And we're missing it the entire time. But if you just slow down and look at it and receive what He's got. Let's stand on our feet.
Amen.
Musicians, go.
Free.
Praise God.
Thank you. He died.
Amen.
To make all men free. He paid for the penalty. Grace met all the requirements of the law.
Hallelujah.
You free this morning?
Amen.
Praise God.
You free this morning?
Yes.
I see your hands.
Amen.
We're free.
Amen.
We're free.
Praise God.
Tell the devil, devil, I'm free.
Devil, I'm free.
Jesus has paid for it. Tell the devil, devil, I'm healed.
Devil, I'm healed.
Devil, I'm delivered.
Devil, I'm delivered.
Devil, my family is mine.
Devil, my family is mine.
Devil, my household is mine. Is mine. Heaven liberty is mine. Jesus has paid it all.
Jesus has paid it all.
Hallelujah. That story that my man told. Little man told that story, that crow. You all remember that? That crow we're going to talk about, Johnny Crow.
Yeah.
A farmer caught that crow. He tied a chain around his leg. Went and pinned him up. You ever felt like you had a chain around you?
Yes.
Couldn't break through in worship. Couldn't break through in prayer. Couldn't break through in the service.
Amen.
You could only fly but so high because you had a chain on you.
Yeah.
That's how that crow felt. That crow, but every time he tried to rise up a little higher, that chain would tug on his leg, and he would remember, I gotta be on the earth and chained up. But one day a man saw him out there and saw that chain on his foot and thought, my, it's the most beautiful sight. He ain't made to live on the ground. He ain't made to stay down low. He's made to break through. He's made to go into the sky. And the good man, hallelujah, the good man went and he said, Johnny Crow, come here. And he severed the chain which kept him on the ground. He severed the chain. But you the staggering part, when everyone tells the story, he said, Johnny Crow kept walking around. And Johnny Crow still didn't take off.
Yeah.
I hope this means something to you. The chain had been severed.
Yeah.
And Johnny Crow still wasn't taken off. He said, why wasn't he taken off this hour? He almost forgot what it was like to be free.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He almost forgot what it was like to have a breakthrough in the service. And he thought, well, I guess it ain't possible no more. Well, let me just go on record and say, Johnny Crow, that chain is broke this morning.
Yeah.
A breakthrough is yours.
Amen.
The chain is broke this morning.
Praise God.
Jesus Christ has broke the chain of guilt. He's broke the chain of sickness. He's broke the chain of condemnation. Every past sin, every present sin, every future sin, He has broke the chain. Johnny Crow, and then it's time we go up high. It's time we have a breakthrough. Amen. That chain ain't meant to be there no longer, but it's broke off of us. Let's just sit there. Where you stand? Lord, if there's anyone here that's bound, Lord, I pray that they would just begin to lift their hands, Lord. Lord, and receive the liberty which you can bring to the church. Lord, if there's anyone sick this morning, Father, Lord, I pray they would lift their hands to you and receive healing. Lord, the stripes that you took, you paid for the price of healing. Lord, if there's anyone here lost, may they lift their hands and receive salvation from you. Lord, if there's anyone here without the Holy Ghost this morning, Lord, if there's anyone here wanting a refilling, Lord, won't be a stir of revival in their hearts, may they lift their hands, Lord. A refilling of the Holy Ghost. We receive a refreshing of the Holy Ghost, Lord. We receive everything you got for us, Lord. We don't turn it down, Lord. We receive it, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Almighty God, if there's any devil trying to hold your children down, Lord, trying to keep them bound on the ground, Lord, Lord, I pray that they would defy every chain. May they defy every bondage, Lord. May they break through, Lord. May they break through the atmosphere, Father. Lord, break past what the devil trying to hold on, Lord. We let the devil know we are free this morning. God has made us free. He's broken every chain. He's broken every guilt. He's broken every complex. He's broken every condemnation. And Lord, we have been free by the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Turn it back to you, Saul Lever. Thank God I'm free.
God, this soul, it feels so good to be free. Lord, it feels so good to know that the price was paid. Lord, there was one, Lord, even you, Lord, who hung on the cross, Lord. Father, man would give his life for people, Lord God, that he knew before the foundation of the world. Not only that, Lord, you were willing to go to hell for us, Lord. A place of torment, Lord. Lord, so many people just look at the cross, but they don't see that you went further, Lord. Your love is so much deeper, Lord. Father, you paid the price, Lord, that none of us could pay, and we don't have to go to that place called hell. But if this earthly body be dissolved, Lord, we have one already waiting, Lord. We step from this life into eternal life, Lord. You bridge that gap, Lord, so that we don't have to go. We're so grateful, Lord. We're so grateful to know how much you love us, Lord. It's not a past tense love, it's an eternal love, Father. Thank you so much. Father, we pray, Almighty God, that you continue to deal with every heart under the sound of the voice, Lord, that heard the message. Bless each hear that heard and every heart that believe and receive, Lord, what you have already done. Father, we pray for Brother Solomon, Almighty God. Thank you for sending him our way. Father, I pray, Almighty God, that you would just shower him with your blessings, Lord. Thank you for his service and his obedience, Lord, to surrender to you, Lord, that you may speak to us, Lord. It was your voice speaking through his voice, Lord. For it penetrated our souls, Lord, and we can now rejoice in your presence. Thank you for grace, Lord God. Thank you for fulfilling your word, Lord. Father, again, we pray, Lord, for our pastor and all those that will be coming back here, and our brothers and sisters that will go back to their respective places from the Easter meetings. Father God, as we prepare to leave this place, not your presence, Lord, go before us, Lord, and keep us. Make our way prosperous, Lord, and bring us all back at the appointed time. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and thank you. Commit all things to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you.